partaking of and taking in things that are not good for your soul. And so you have these, I'll use the expression, you have these false shepherds in the world. Amen. And I'm using it generically. Don't misconstrue what we're talking about, because the Lord is our shepherd. But see, a shepherd, again, as we mentioned to you last Sunday, that in a generic sense, in a general sense, it is someone who leads and who guides and who directs and who people follow, among other things. But it is also something where you have to understand that using those terms does not mean they're always used in a positive way. Everybody who leads you does not mean they're leading you somewhere where you need to be. Y'all ain't follow me here. Our society that we live in is filled with, but it has inundated with folks who seek to do that, using even the means that we seem to think that is just, you know, generic. But there's predators on the computer, amen. There are folks, again, who are out there soliciting for things that mean you no good. And if you're not careful, and if you're not mindful, and if sometimes naivety comes in, because you would think, and this is the naive part, that everybody means you well. That's right. You, are you with me? Now, you can't live life walking on eggshells. Ain't that right? You can't live life walking on eggshells. You have to trust somebody, but you got to do it with discretion. Yes, sir. Amen. And because, you know, at the end of the day, when you see the news, the media, and the newspapers, and even, you know, community-wise, you always got to watch where you're being led to. Ain't that right? And consequently, I want you to understand that there is, that God made us, as we said last Sunday, and I believe the Sunday before, the way the Lord made us, he's made us with desires. Desires that call out for satisfaction and nourishment. Now, those words in and of itself, even as was prayed today, thank God that about today's Mother's Day. And if there is no other nourishing individual in the world, it's the mother. Amen. Amen. I know, Dad, we try to do a good job, but we might not be known as the nourishing ones. Amen. Yeah, that's right. We might not be known as the nourishing one. It doesn't mean, however, you should not speak or seek to do that, like you bring up your children in and nourishing the admonition of the Lord. But the mother provides that part most of the time. Ain't that right? The most of the time, after we have set our peace and General Dad has, you know, got to get things straight, that there still needs to be somebody who can speak comfort and nourishment. Amen. Amen. Are you with me here? And so there is that where you want to, you should have that duality in your life, and someone in your life who speaks something or leads you to some way where your inner man, your soul, your mind, even was read there and prayed today, where, because all of us here, no matter what walk of life you came from, where you came, some of us, or all of us, or maybe not all of us to that great degree, but we can bring and carry within our soul places in our spirit, within our psyche, so to speak, where it wasn't that way. Amen. And then when you grow up, you seek to find someone to replace what you did not have. Are you with me here? Are you with me here? And so the world is filled with hurt people. Amen. Folks who have been malnourished as opposed to been nourished. Malnourished means having received not so much food, but and Jesus already said that man shall not live by bread alone. Ain't that right? But there's something about how we're made that transcends the natural amenities of life. It's more than just, you know, being able to buy something. It's more than just to be able to have something externally or materially. But when you can have all those things on the outside and still be malnourished on the inside. And I don't mean, again, in terms of lack of physical food. That's one thing, too, that we find that situation in the world. But the soul is the place, brothers and sisters, where it is so lacking. And one of the reasons, because when God made us, he made us so that we would be healthy spiritually. Amen. Not only did he make us healthy spiritually, but the Lord, watch it now, he made sure that he set up a garden
where we would get the life that we need for our souls. Go back and read the story again. And it's not no fable. Matter of fact, it tells you right in there in Genesis, we find the precipitation when it started. When God set things up how he ought to be, how we would be led. And the Bible says that when God came to Adam and Eve, that he walked with them in the cool of the day. And then he established a garden in Eden whereby they would go. There was something called the tree of life. And God would lead them there. He taught them. He showed them where they should go for the nourishment they need for their soul. But he also told them, however, that there's one prohibition. There's one place I tell you not to visit. There's one thing. There's one tree in the garden. And I can't answer that now. Somebody might have in their minds. It's good to ask. It's good to surmise. But you would say to yourself, well, Lord, how come you allowed or had that tree there? If you know there was a possibility that I could find myself partaking of something somewhere, something that was there that could do me harm and danger, why did you put a tree of knowledge of good and evil? If by which I partook of it, I would surely die. Amen. Why not just the tree of life? Because God put that in there as a means, brothers and sisters, of testing us and put Adam and Eve on sort of a probation to see if they would do what he said. And in their obedience, if they did what God said and stayed away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and listen to God and trusted that God would shepherd them. Amen. Would shepherd them. There is a good consideration, and speculation with scripture is not good all the time. Wondering what could have been, what should have been. Truth of the matter is, it is what is. It could have been, what should have been, but that's not what happened. Did God know? Yes, he knew. But see, that's the thing about the Lord. God, even when they decided they wanted to go their own way, he was there for them. But nonetheless, still, brothers and sisters, we still have this inner need and desire to be drawn to someone to take us in and to lead us to green pastures. We're going to look at this psalm again, Psalm 23, and trust without too much spiritualizing, see that we would look and see what this psalmist is talking about. Are y'all with me here? David, this psalm again, and I hear you me term David because it's just a default. I just always believe that David wrote the psalm. He was a shepherd boy, like we said before. But remember again, he's not the only one that was a shepherd. He's the most known one. Amen. Y'all listen to me? Amen. And so the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I take this again to mean not just the beginning of the psalm, but it is the umbrella of all of the psalms. That means when you start off there, when you start off with God being your shepherd, listen to me now, there should be, brothers and sisters, an expectation for the rest of the psalm. Are you with me here? It's not that you get to the end, but the beginning is the whole thing. Because if the Lord is your shepherd, then you should have an expectation to experience everything that David said he looked for and had partaken of. Are y'all following me here? Amen, because that's the whole thing about the Lord. You and I don't know everything about God, but he knows everything about you. Ain't that right? And that's part of the mystery, but that's also part of the journey. But the good thing about it is that God never will disappoint us, though many times I disappointed him. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But then he starts taking us on a path here, brothers and sisters. He says, he, talking about God, talking about the Lord, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Yes, now, it is good to get a book on the customs of the Bible. Why? So, because again, like we asked you, we're not used to sheep stories. Amen. Amen. We're used to horses, dogs, you know, and I'm just saying that there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just meaning that that's not a part of our culture, so to speak. And when you see them, sometimes you see them in the rural areas. And that's right. See, if you see some sheep coming down Diamond Street or Spruce Street, there's a little problem there. Amen. But see, this is used to in the rural area. So why? So you when you do that, when you look, you'll get an idea of what it meant to them. See, the sheep,
they were in the outskirts most of the time. Sometimes they were brought in, but for specific purposes. But when the shepherd took them, he would take them out. I'll use something that's parallel. He would take them for a walk. The shepherd would take the sheep out, and he would walk them through. And but they were dependent upon him for their care. That's right. And you heard me say this in the other Sunday that the sheep are not dumb animals, but also they're not super intelligent. I would say the sheep have a measure of naivety and gullibility. You know what naive means? Naive means you just believe anything. Gullible means you just fall for anything. Amen. See, but that's not necessarily a negative thing. It's just why? Because there is something about, however, when you have dependency, if you're dependent on the right person. Amen. See, that's where trust comes in. If I know you mean me well, then I don't mind being dependent on you. If I have an assurance that you mean me well, that where you take me, where you lead me, will be someplace that's good for me, then I don't mind being dependent on you. You with me here? Amen. Hey, follow me here, Lord. I mean, you listen to me. Because before we met the Lord, I said before we met the Lord, We a lot of us followed the wrong person, and sometimes the wrong person was ourselves. Self-dependency, self-sufficiency, self-interest. And see, those are the symptoms of the sin nature in our life, where I only sought to do things that were good for me. Are you with me here? Good for me, even when I was saying that it's good for you, it's only good for you as long as it's good for me. Ain't that right? But then we met somebody. I said we met somebody. But see, when I said before, sometimes we have to take time to get to the place where we can begin to trust again. Amen. Yeah, that's right. After you come to the Lord, there's some healing that needs to go on. And the conscience can be affected by things that happened in our previous life before Christ. So when we come to the Lord, we have to learn how to trust again in certain areas of our life. Just sometimes when you know that God is good, and God is good what? All the time. But then we can have a knee-jerk or a default reaction when God is in turn seeking to take us somewhere where we can find green pastures, and we are hesitant and reticent about following him openly because I heard that story before.
Amen. That's right.
I heard that before. And watch it now. There is no, Bible says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That means God cannot lie. There's no maliciousness in him. God don't have no hidden agenda. God only can and will have a good welfare for our lives. But even knowing that, we still have to learn how to trust him and fully give our all to him when it comes to where we go in life. Because the shepherd means good for his sheep. I said the true shepherd. I'll get to that in a minute. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now watch this here. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Notice that. He maketh me. He don't coerce me. He don't force me. He don't push me. He maketh me. And see, the language might seem to say that, but that's not what it's saying. It's all about he causes me. When it says he caused me, however, it was not with those kind of overt kind of thing, forcing you and coercing you. No, that's not what it means. He maketh me. He causes me. That means by virtue of my relationship to him and knowing I can trust him, knowing that he means me well, he will take me somewhere. And that virtue of that in my heart, with my trust, he causes me.
Amen.